I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play, or Jalen on the breakaway, or Kyrie when he make a trade. And nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie's.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Raining Jays. Today, it's me, your boy, J. King from MassLive.com. And it's just me. It's going to be a solo pod. I'm going to be taking your questions, doing a little mailbag. I'll probably try to keep it a little short. Got a men's league playoff game tonight. I'm actually recording from the parking lot right before the game. So hopefully this will come out all right. Hopefully you guys won't hate the solo pod. Hopefully you guys will love it. Celtics, obviously, 24-6. Kyrie Irving has just been on a ridiculous streak the last month. A lot is going right for the Celtics. Al Horford coming back from his rest Friday night. Got some good stuff going on. Let's get to these questions now. We'll start with the first one from my friend Tyler Yeats. He's been hounding me about this one. It's a good question. He wanted me to say what have been my favorite memory from covering the Celtics. I might have shared this on the podcast before. It was probably my favorite memory is my first night on the Celtics beat. And I was freelancing for some newspaper from Connecticut. I forget what it was even called. And I walked in. I thought I was going to be just shell-shocked to see Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and a lot of the guys. I had never covered any type of game before. Not high school sports, not college sports, certainly not an NBA game. And I was a huge Celtics fan growing up, so it was all kind of nuts to me that I was allowed to go to the Garden and go in the locker room. And when I walked in, one of the first people I walked by was Kevin McHale, and I almost had to pinch myself like, damn, this is wild. I think he was doing a game for TNT back then. This was a while ago. So walked by Kevin McHale, walk into the press room, and it's a small little press room. I set up my stuff. I go to the locker room, whatever. I wasn't as starstruck to talk to the player. It was my job. So I tried to treat it like a job at least, and talk to all the players on the team in the locker room, or at least whoever would talk. And I went back into the Celtics media room, and there's Bob Ryan sitting there. I swear to God, I like started shaking, like my body was shaking. And it was funny because I thought it would be the players that I was most excited to see, but instead it was Bob Ryan, the legendary writer, a guy who really kind of set the stage for guys like me. And it was Bob and meeting Bob who that really did it for me. And I went over and introduced myself, and we had a little talk, and I'm sure he doesn't remember it at all, but I certainly do. I was shaking, man. So yeah, that was probably my favorite one. I would say that has to be my favorite one. We'll get into the other questions now, more about the regular team. We'll start off with Crusader Bit Software. Is Hayward's injury worse than Paul George? Reason I ask is Paul George had a bad year before he came back to form, hoping Hayward can be back to form quicker whenever he returns. It's kind of weird to me that people keep trying to jam Hayward and George's injuries together, and I get it to a certain extent. You know, they were both horrific injuries. Two of the most shocking injuries to watch that I've ever watched live. And obviously I was there in person for the Hayward injury, and it was just it was indescribable what it felt like in that arena. But they're two different injuries. Hayward's in the ankle. I think George's was higher up in his leg. George, I think he just broke his leg Hayward had the dislocated ankle and the broken ankle. So they're two totally different things. I assume two totally different places of the bone. They might be two different bones. I'm not entirely sure. But I don't think George's recovery will have anything to do with Gordon Hayward's. I do think that if you expect Gordon Hayward to come back 100% right away, you're expecting a lot. And there's going to be an adjustment period, whether it's next season in the preseason or whether it's later this season. He is going to take some time to get back to full speed. You don't just hop back on an NBA court and suddenly you're good. You know, right now he just got out of his walking boot. He's still in an ankle brace whenever he walks. I know people are happy about the way he's walking, the way he's moving in videos and stuff like that, but like, he's just walking. He can't put, obviously, all of the weight on that foot. There's a lot of strides he needs to make before he gets back on the court. And once he gets back on the court, it's going to take him a little while. Like Paul George, I guess there is a correlation there, but it's going to take him time before he's back. And he'll need to fit back in with the Celtics. The good news is he's a super easy player to play with for everybody. It's going to be on the fly. Gordon Hayward will make everybody's life easier. When you think about like Kyrie and Al Horford running a pick and roll with Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, and Jason Tatum as the other three guys spacing the court, I mean, holy hell. Watch out, league. That's just so much explosiveness, so many dynamic players everywhere. So they're going to be great when he gets back to full health. I don't know when that will be, and I don't know how long it'll take once he gets back on the court. If I were the Celtics, I'd be a little afraid of throwing him out in a playoff series. It would be preferable to me and to them and to Hayward, of course, to come back, I think, toward the end of the regular season and kind of work his way back. Another question. How surprised, this from Rob Sony, Sony1056. How surprising is it to you that Semi Ojeleye is not only able to have the foot speed as a rook, but more importantly, being able to play with power and leverage on the defensive end? Has really surprised me how effective he has been. Yeah, Ojeleye, defensive monster. I mean, he's as strong as they get. He's got quicker feet than anyone his size should have. He tried to dunk on someone the other night, which was an enjoyable experience, although Kenneth Freed blocked him. I wasn't ready for Air Ojeleye, even though I'd seen some of the college highlights. The thing with Ojeleye, though, is if you're going to be a 3-and-D guy, you've got to be a three-point shooter. And the Celtics have run into problems recently because teams are starting to leave Ojeleye. And they're able to help off him. They're able to muck things up elsewhere. Ojeleye should be a three-point shooter. I think he will develop into a three-point shooter. Right now, he shot like 42% in college his last season. But right now, he's struggling from deep. I mean, I think it's a confidence thing. It looks like he almost doesn't want to shoot the ball sometimes. Really hesitant, reluctant. So they gotta figure out a way to get him to knock down some shots, because the only way he has the greatest value to the Celtics is if he can be that 3-and-D guy. He's never going to be a dynamic scorer. I do think he has more stuff to his off-the-dribble game that he hasn't shown. I do think he'll grow as someone who can drive closeouts and create plays for himself, maybe others that way. But his real value offensively is going to be spacing the court and knocking down shots. If he's not doing that, he doesn't have a lot of value offensively. So he needs to pick that up. But, yeah, defensively, there's nothing not to like. I mean, that kid is advanced, especially for a rookie at such a young age. He's just very, very talented defensively. This is an interesting question from Murph_VT. 5 to 10 years out, what does Brad's coaching tree look like? Who among his assistants and players are coaching in the league? That's a good question. I think they've got a number of coaches who have the potential to go elsewhere. What's kind of surprising to me is that nobody has really moved on yet. I guess Darren Erman left. I'm probably forgetting somebody. Ronald Norred left for the college ranks. I'm probably forgetting somebody, but they haven't had much overturn on Brad's staff so far. I think if you look at right now, I think Jay Larranega could be one of the guys who gets a job at some point. I think Micah Shrewsbury is another guy who could get a job at some point. I think there's just a lot of talent on that staff. You know, Jamie Young, he's another talented coach. Kenny Graves, they've got a lot of sharp minds. Brandon Bailey, who's coaching the Maine Red Claws, everybody raves about how much he knows defense. So it's hard to anticipate what those guys will do. It's hard to know exactly how much they contribute because as assistant coaches, you know, you don't know what they do unless you're with the team every day. But yeah, you hear a lot of good things about really everybody on their bench. It seems like they have a very, very talented coaching staff, very committed coaching staff, and very positive coaching staff. Murph with another question. My man Murph, active. Cavs with Isaiah Thomas seems scary come playoffs. What Celtics lineup will best exploit IT's defensive problems? Lots of size to hope for a post-up situation or a speed lineup to prevent Cavs from switching to protect IT? I mean, you could post up Isaiah. He's kind of sneaky okay at defending post-ups. He's not as bad as his height would suggest. And posting up guys, unless teams come with a double team, which can be bad, is not necessarily an efficient way to score. I'm interested. I hope the Celtics and Cavs play in the playoffs, man. There's just so much juice to that matchup. The Kyrie LeBron thing, the Isaiah Boston thing, the Crowder Boston thing. I do think that it would be just a marvelous series. And it would be funny to see both teams kind of try to scheme to take advantage of the guy they traded away. Like, the Celtics would go at Isaiah, and the Cavs would go at Kyrie, even though he's been better defensively than I think most people anticipated. So, I'm in. I need that series. Give me that series. Pump it into my veins. Please. Please. Kendall JW, is Kyrie putting teammates in better position to score, make plays than last year, even though all his passing stats are down? I don't know. I mean, I watched the Cavs a lot last year. I don't know if it's fair to say Kyrie has been a better playmaker. He's just great. The one thing that's impressed me the most is that he's boosted his efficiency, and his true shooting percentage over the last month has been 66, which is just outrageous. For a point guard, ridiculous. Like, that's rare air, and it seems like he keeps getting more and more comfortable. But yeah, the thing that's really impressed me about him is he hasn't really had that adjustment period. Like, from day one, he's kind of been just really good. and obviously he's been really good for a long time, but his role is entirely different. He doesn't have LeBron James anymore. The Celtics use him in different ways than the Cavs, who isolated him a lot. And there's still a lot of isolations for Kyrie, but I think it's more off movement, and it's more off, you know, with actions with Al Horford, with spaced out. It's not like go beat your man and get a bucket. It's kind of they're doing some different things with him. I do think he's been a very good playmaker. If you watch their games, the amount of attention he draws is ridiculous. And I think one of the maybe underrated or something that hasn't been pointed out enough is how easy he and Al Horford have made things for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. You know, there's a lot made about how those guys are more ready than most guys their age, and that's 100% true. Tatum is ridiculous for a rookie. Jaylen Brown has taken huge strides in his second year. Those guys are more ready than any 19-year-old and 21-year-old should be. But also, like, playing off Kyrie and Al Horford makes everything easier for them. They don't have to create a lot. They catch the ball and they drive closeouts, or they have open threes, and everything is kind of simplistic for them. They don't have to go out and go outside of what they can do right now. And I think Tatum should be even more aggressive, but, like, the opportunities he has are a lot different and a lot better than the ones he would have if he were playing for a lottery team. You know, if he were playing for a lottery team, he might average 20 to 25 points a game, but his efficiency wouldn't even be close to what it is. And a lot of that is because Kyrie draws so much damn attention. Go back and watch that Nuggets fourth quarter. It's really stunning because they tried to double team him, and they did a shit job. He was just beating double teams. But they sent two guys at him basically every play. And when you're sending two guys at one, then it just makes everything so much easier for everybody else. And it's not so much that his passing is next level, although he's a good passer to very good passer. I wouldn't put him in the elite passer category, but he's very, very good at it. But he doesn't have to be as good because he just draws so much attention and everybody else is standing there to beat closeouts, and the Celtics have other guys to make plays against secondary defense. So Kyrie's been really good. There's not a lot to complain about with what Kyrie has done this season. Jam Packard coming in with a question. Here we go. I like it. Since I can't record tonight, shout out to Jam, who was on a road trip. Any concerns about the defense? I don't think so. I mean, the Celtics have been basically average defensively over the last month. I don't think there's any concerns. It's just they're in the busiest part of their schedule. It's natural to kind of let down a little bit defensively, especially they're still winning games. If they were letting down defensively and losing games, or if they haven't even dropped from their number one ranking in the defensive standing. So I'm not concerned about the defense at all. I think it's going to be really good when they need it to be really good, when they're fully rested, when they're not in 5 games in 7 day stretches, when they're not in 12 games in 19 day stretches, when they're not in the most hectic part of their schedule. I think they'll be very stingy. The one thing that really concerns me is that the starting lineup with Al Horford and Marcus Morris, or, you know, just lineups in general with Al Horford at the center and Marcus Morris at power forward, they haven't gotten stops and they haven't gotten rebounds. And when those guys are out there, the Celtics kind of look like the worst part of what they were last year, when they're kind of bleeding points and giving up too many rebounds, and they just look too small and not physical enough. So that's a concern to me, that specific pairing. Just because when you look at Horford and when you look at Morris and what they've done for their careers, neither of them is a plus rebounder. Neither of them has elite size for the four or the five. So that, to me, was a questionable pairing defensively and on the glass going into the season. And the fact that it hasn't proven otherwise is concerning. And they've scored like hell when those two guys are on the court, so that's a good thing. I believe they're still outscoring opponents. It's just they've kind of become run and gun with those two guys on the court. But they've got to shore that up, because come playoff time, you've got to be able to defend when you go smaller with those lineups. And some of those lineups with the versatility, you're going to need that. You can't go big with Baines all the time. So that is one thing they're going to have to shore up by the time the postseason arrives.
The next question is from Jack Michael. Jack Michael 17, who wants Sam Jam Packard to go through Kyrie Irving's latest Instagram quote and pick his favorite parts. I feel like I couldn't possibly do that as much justice as Jam. It is an incredible Instagram post, truly magnificent, and right up the reigning junk drawer type of line that Sam has become accustomed to. We'll save that one for him. He's definitely going to answer that one, though, on a later podcast, because I will make him do that if I have to. Next question from Denholm Herald. If the Rain and Jays could be in a bar fight with any of the other Locked On Podcast Network teams, who would you least want to scrap with? Hashtag it's go time. I'm going to open this one up to all podcasts, because the Locked On Podcast Network, there's no one who could touch us. I don't think you guys understand. Like, Corrales is a big dude. I'm not the biggest dude, but I'm kind of tough. And Sam Jam Packard, my man, he's like as tough as it gets. He's a little scrapper. Not even a little scrapper. He's relatively big scrapper. I think put us all together and we're basically untouchable as a three-man podcast crew. I'm trying to think of other podcasts that could potentially have anything to say to us in a fight that could potentially even damage us in any way. And the only podcast I can think of is the Richard Jefferson podcast with Channing Frye that they used to have for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And that doesn't even exist anymore. And I'm not convinced that Channing Frye would have a good chance of beating John Corrales in a scrap. And I'm not convinced that Richard Jefferson would have a good shot against Jam Packard. And I'm certainly not convinced that 2-on-3, they would have any chance against the reigning Jays. But that, to me, is probably the podcast that might have a shot just because, you know, they're NBA players and professional athletes and stuff. And we may or may not be fat, out of shape, totally past our prime. So, yeah, I don't think there's a podcast out there that would have a chance in a brawl against the reigning Jays. I actually believe that too. Like, I'm trying to think of a podcast that would have a shot, and there's none that's coming to me. And it's not even close. Like, we have a physically formidable squad, and clearly we are past our prime, and we are fat, except for Jam Packard. Actually, Corrales got in shape too. I'll give Corrales credit for getting in shape. I guess I'm the only fat one, but I don't think there are many podcasts that could even touch us in a scrap. So I appreciate the question though. And in a bar fight, yeah, we're the type of people we'll probably dominate you in a bar fight. We'll probably smash a bottle over the top of your head. We will probably slam you through a table. We will probably kick your jaw while you're laying on the ground. And that's about it, man. That's how we roll. That's really not how we roll. We are not at all a tough podcast. But we are kind of big. Honestly, I would give us a pretty good chance in a bar fight against most podcasts. We're just about all out of questions now, I think. So I appreciate all you guys for coming with the goods. I appreciate all of you for listening. I appreciate all of you for interacting with us. Honestly, it weirds me out how many people care about our podcast, and I appreciate it. I really do. Like, every day people tweet me that I don't know, and sometimes people approach me. Every once in a while people approach me, and it's just a really cool feeling that some people actually listen to us. Because, shit, we're not guys that really deserve listeners, I guess. But I guess we are. We're the greatest Celtics podcast, the only daily Celtics podcast. Search for us, Locked On Celtics, wherever you get your podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever else. Search for us, Locked On Celtics. Give us a 5-star rating. All of that. Listen to us. Come back every day. We'll be here Monday through Friday to give you the only daily Celtics podcast, the only Celtics talk that you can get every single day. We appreciate you listening. Sorry it was just a solo pod. Sorry it was a solo mailbag. Hopefully I came through a little bit for you guys so that you guys didn't hate this podcast. But I appreciate you anyway. Take care. Yeah, J. King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.